Let's pray together before we open the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for gathering us today. Thank you for giving that star to the wise men so that they might know exactly where to find Jesus. And as you've given that star to them for direction, you've given your word to us for direction. Help us to read it today, to understand it, and most especially apply it. Lord, I guess it is our godly positioning system, your word. So help us to position ourselves in life with one another and with a needy world in the path of righteousness. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the Psalms. In fact, the very first psalm, often known as the gateway to the Psalms, because it declares what we need to know and the purpose for which you would turn to the Psalms, for guidance, for comfort, for the path of righteousness as opposed to the path of wickedness. Now, the title of the message I changed slightly, not that that's really terribly important, but I would like to speak about the God-blessed life and how to get there from here. The God-blessed life and how to get there from here. I remember when I was a pastor in near Reading, Bible Fellow, or near in Blandin, near Reading, I had to travel one time to Reading Rehabilitation Center, and it's south on Route 10. I know how to get there now. You just hop on Route 222, go down to the bypass, get off at Lancaster Avenue, very first exit after you go underneath the underpass, take a left on Route 10, and it's right on Route 10. But I didn't know that when I began ministry, and I remember getting incredibly lost. Well, I finally stopped at a gas station, and I guess this attendant saw how frazzled I was, because I really wanted to get there at a certain amount of time because I had other things to do that day, and I just desperately, can you please tell me how to get to Reading Rehabilitation Center? And I gave him the address. He says, you can't get there from here. And I was so frazzled, I just didn't understand. You know, he was just fooling with my head. I thought, what do you mean you can't get there from here? Then he just stared at me like I had three heads and didn't quite get the joke, and he began to smile and said, no, here's how you do it. But, you know, sometimes we go through life, and at the head of this new year, on Thursday is New Year's Day, and sometimes we get so caught up in doing life that we get off track. We get off on the wrong road. And I thought it would be good for us to think about how to make sure or return to the God-blessed life. And this is how you get there from here, so that we don't stray and produce a life full of vanity. Ecclesiastes 1:2 says, vanity of vanities, the preacher says, vanity all is vanity, which is not a very happy and a blessed outlook on things. But I could see his point, because he ends the book by saying that we should live our lives to please the living God. And a life lived that way is not vanity. So, let me read to you Psalm 1, and if you wish to follow in whatever, and by the way, if I break into Elizabethan English, it's because I've memorized this thing in King James, but I'll be reading from a New American Standard, so I'll try to stick with what I'm reading. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which bear fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked will perish. A commentator named von Gehman said, the word happy is a good rendition of blessed, provided one keeps in mind that the condition of blessedness is not merely a feeling. Even when righteousness does not feel happy, they are still considered blessed from God's perspective. He bestows this gift to them. Their negative feelings nor adverse conditions can ever take his blessings away. Now, the psalm breaks down in this way. First of all, we have two directions and two destinations. The two directions are you can walk in the path of the wicked or you can walk in the path of the righteous. And the two destinations, well, we'll get to that in a minute. These two paths and two destinations. First of all, there's Wicked Way. All right? I'm looking at the screen in the back. Wicked Way is on that side. I got to get it right. Wicked Way is on that side. But what we want is we want Righteous Road. And that's where we need to stay. Because the destinations are Parish Place or Prosper Plaza. So we want to stay on Righteous Road and head toward Prosper Plaza, as the psalm would indicate. All right. Well, let's look, first of all, at the two directions. The two directions. First, obviously, the first direction is bad, and we don't want to go there. The second direction is good, and that's really where we want to head. I remember one time using, if we think of Bible as God's positioning system, as we read it, as we understand it, as we position ourselves first with salvation in Jesus Christ by believing in the living Savior, we are positioned with God in heaven forever as His child that cannot be changed. However, as we are walking around on this earth, our position sometimes varies. A careless thought, a careless word, a careless habit. And we can find ourselves not walking in the paths of righteousness, but in the path of sinners and scoffers. I'm telling you, for those of you who are not in Bobby's Sunday school class, Bobby and my Sunday school class, Five Lies That Ruin Relationships, it is a terribly convicting class. And especially today, he hit on lies that we find ourselves entering into. And it had to do with slandering one another right out of James chapter 4. That's what the series is centered around, James chapter 4 and chapter 5. And some of the illustrations that he used for the ways that we slander one another were so subtle, but they fall into the slander category. It is so easy when our mouth is in gear, sin gets engaged. And we've got to be very, very careful. We've got to use the Bible, God's positioning system, so that we always head down the good path and not the wrong path. How many of you have GPSs? Okay, great. How many of you have or know where Sam's Club on Airport Road is? Yeah, okay, a lot of us do. Well, I was in Bethlehem, and I got kind of turned around, and I needed to get to Sam's Club. So, I got a little stuck, and all I had to do was come off of Catasauqua Road, and I thought turn right onto Airport Road, and then make an immediate turn left onto, you see, this is why I get confused. I turn left onto Airport Road, and then turn right onto that road that takes you down to Sam's. But I wanted to be sure, I didn't want to spend a lot of time, I'm a point A, point B kind of a guy, so I turned on my GPS. I don't know what in the world that thing was thinking. But this is really all I had to do. And in. I'm going to talk to the Garmin people. yeah. Enough said. But those are bad directions. I mean, they're not terribly inaccurate, but they're bad directions. They may have gotten me where I wanted to go, and a half an hour later, I don't know. I don't really know why that took me around a cloverleaf. Oh, just terrible. So that was really not the best of directions. So let's look at what the Bible talks about when it speaks of bad directions. Now, in the chapter 1, or book 1, rather, Psalm 1, in verse 1, it says, "How blessed is the man," and then he goes on to describe the way we ought not to walk. This is the walking toward Parish Place here. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, path of sinners, and the seat of scoffers. Well, let's take a look at those a little bit more. First of all, what do we mean by from the wicked? When we take our advice, when we take our direction in life, now that doesn't mean that we can't take advice from ungodly people. If I need to determine whether my transmission needs to be fixed or whether I need to put just a little bit more oil in it, anybody can help me with that. But if I'm struggling and puzzling about a moral issue, or I'm struggling or puzzling about a spiritual thing, or I'm struggling and puzzling about a relationship that was broken and how to mend it, I really want to speak to someone who knows Jesus and knows His Word so that I can be guided in the path of peace, in the path of righteousness. Well, first of all, the word here for wicked has moral overtones, and not just sexually moral overtones, but simple, general, moral overtones. Kylan Dalich says, the man whose moral condition is lax. That's what wicked means. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if you'd like to turn there, the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. We won't read the entire passage, but I will read some of the verses so that you can get a gist of what a wicked person. Now, the word wicked is used here in the original Hebrew in several places, but it describes the general overtones of a wicked person. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners or the wicked entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth and fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, and we shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of the bird, and they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives, and so are the ways of everyone who gains by violence and takes away the life of its possessors. We have people who live a general life apart from the Word and the ways of God. They are not the people we want to go running to for advice on how to live our lives. We do not want to be walking in the way of sinners. The next one is from sinners. This is, of course, an obvious sin. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Romans is an interesting book as the Apostle Paul tried to give a theological treatise about salvation, about our need for it and how to obtain it. But as he wrote to the Romans, he needed to fill them in on some theological truths. The fact that the entire race, including every human being, is sentenced under sin. And there are three classifications of sinners Paul basically breaks down. First of all, there's the person who's obviously a sinner in verses 18 down through 32. The moralist who still sins, and then the very religious people with God's law in chapter 3. But the sinners, the coarse and obvious sin, is what is being referred to in chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about them is evident in them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. And even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So the downfall of this type of people is they do not recognize God or His authority in their lives whatsoever. In verse 24, it goes on to further describe them. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies would be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. And he goes on to further describe their wickedness. They are obviously apart from God. Not subtly, but obviously apart from God. And then finally, the scoffers. The scoffers. The scoffers are typified by making light of that which is divine and holy. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6 says, "The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easy to the discernings." Van Grayman said again, "The mockers who have no regard for God and his commandments, the mocker is a fool in the language of wisdom," in Proverbs 9, 8 and 14, 6. That's just the way God describes him. "He does not respond to instruction, but stirs up strife by insults. He delights in mocking. And thus the way of folly is comprehensive as it entails a devotion to self and to the group in all areas of life." In short, the blessed person, the godly person, is a person who has separated themselves from receiving instruction, from patterning themselves after these kinds of people. Now, most of us as adults have chosen friends, and hopefully chosen friends wisely. I don't mean any friend, like a coworker, but I mean someone who is very close, someone who we will go to and run for advice. We have to be very, very careful in that choice. And in the formulation, teenagers and children, please be careful in picking your friends. Very, very careful in picking your friends. I don't care whether you're in grade school, in high school, or in college. Proverbs tells us, "The companion of fools suffers harm." As you pick wise people, even godly people, to be your close and intimate friendship circle, you will protect yourself and others from folly and walking down the path God doesn't want us to walk. It's using someone to help us when we stray and calling one another into account, that godly positioning system that we all so desperately need. You know, if you're contemplating a change of course in your life, for you to listen to people who do not have a close, obedient walk with God, you're courting disaster. Please, please look at these characteristics closely in Psalm 1. If they match any of the people that you're seeking critical advice from, please seek someone else. Seek someone else. All right. Now, let's look at some good directions. All right? Let's look at some good directions. First of all, the believer should be in the Word of God. At least that's what we're told in this passage right out in verse 2. But the godly man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So here's the direction. You want a GPS? Here's a good one. This godly positioning system. Be in it. Please, God did not invent this book so that we can have something pretty that looks on the coffee table when the pastor comes to visit. He invented this book to give us directions. It is a roadmap. It helps us as we move through life to make decisions that will please God and ultimately help us and please us as we live out those things. Turn to Romans chapter 1 and 2. Now, my GPS, in fact, I just did this to my son's GPS, gets frequent updates because sometimes it doesn't help me to go in the right direction. Now, sometimes it's not the machine itself, but the person who's programming the machine doesn't hit the right buttons and I end up on a clover leaf that I didn't have to go on. But we need reprogramming too, don't we? We come to know Christ as personal Savior. The Apostle Paul says it's a brand new relationship. Everything becomes new. I have a new Father. I have a new forgiveness. I have new grace, new mercy. I have a new family. I have a new path that I'm allowed to walk and called to walk. But you see, salvation happens in an instant of time and carries effects into eternity. But when I got saved, I didn't get a new brain. I didn't get a new immediate reaction to things. I got a new nature, but that new nature had to be nurtured. and nurtured with the Word of God. It had to be reprogrammed, if you will. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." You see, God wants us on righteous road. It's just the right thing to do when He's given us so much. But we always don't, but we're not used to walking that way, and sometimes we need the map. So we need to get a new map or a new reprogramming in the GPS, and that comes in verse 2. Very clearly He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." We need a newly programmed mind to walk in the ways of God. The believer needs to be in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 23 say, "Wisdom shouts in the street, she lifts her voice in the square. The head of the noisy street, she cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you be simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you and make my words known to you." The believer needs to be in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. "He who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." Let me ask you a personal question. How's your input going? How's the reprogramming coming? What are you doing intentionally, deliberately, carefully, prayerfully to reprogram your GPS? Personal devotions, Bible memorization, Bible meditation, that's what's prescribed in Psalm chapter 1. Listening to Bible tapes or a Christian radio station or a Sunday school class, worship services, fellowship with other believers, small group ministries, mom to mom, man to man, all critically important so that we can continue the reprogramming process until God completes it in glory. It is just so important. So the believer needs to be in the Word of God, but not just as some simple religious duty. We do it for a reason, because the Word of God needs to be in the believer. He needs to be in the, or the Word of God needs to be in the believer. How many of you carry a Bible with you everywhere you go? A hard copy. I rarely carry it while I'm holding a chainsaw. Or when I'm out running with the dog. I do have one in my backpack when I go hunting so that when it gets really boring, I can read something really good. But we need to understand that the Word of God needs to be in us. And that's what the psalmist is telling us. We need to meditate on it, to think about it, to ruminate, to mull it over in our minds, and have it become such a part of us that it is there when we need it, whether we have hard copy or not, whether we have a cell phone that has the Bible on it or not. It needs to be in us. The results of an onboard GPS reprogramming. Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 25 say, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit and not under the law..." Now, the deeds of the flesh are this. Now, this is the old road: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, faction, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Let us live by the Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. We are told in Ephesians chapter 5 that the way to walk by the Spirit is simple. Allow the Spirit of God to control you, almost as a drug would control the body and the mind. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you have this effect of speaking to one another with spiritual dialogue, uplifting speech, godly talk and encouragement one to another. And that's walking in the Spirit. But then if you turn over to Colossians 13, you have the same effect with a different cause. The same effect is teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. But listen to what Paul says in Colossians when he talks about that effect. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns. You see, the word of God's got to be in us. Let me show you how this works in a practical way. Sometimes I get lost. And that was kind of evident. I told you that one story. I'm going to tell another story on my wife now. Didn't ask her ahead of time. But she was a flower carrier for a while. She worked for a florist for a couple of years while we lived in Blandon. I probably didn't need to buy a GPS because there she sits. She studied maps of Berks County. You could get on the back road of Berks County that doesn't even have a name, and she will get you there. Believe me. It's unbelievable. But only because she took the time to look at the maps of where she needed to go and the routes she needed to plot to deliver the flowers for the florist. The maps became a part of her. So she would just give me an address. Oh, yeah, let's go. Boom. It's amazing. But you see, the same principle is true with the Word of God. We will not walk on the path of righteousness unless we've got the map here. The godly positioning system. That's why worship, devotions, time in the Word, meditating, memorizing is so critically important. I was thrilled to hear that this family retreat is going to be aided for children to go with literally no cost if they would memorize a section of 1 John. Yeah, it'll let them go for free. But the eternal benefits, lifelong benefits of memorizing passages of Scripture is just surpassing any earthly reward. Warren Wiersbe says, a person who is saturated with the Word, those whom God blesses are not delighted with what pertains to sin in the world. They delight in the Word of God. It is love and obedience to the Bible that brings blessing in our life. See Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. A general told, look, the most important thing you can do as a general is have your daily devotions. That's an amazing thing. The people God blesses are not only read the Word daily, but study it, memorize it, meditate on it day and night. Their mind is controlled by the Word of God. Their actions and reactions are controlled by the Word of God. And they'll walk in that righteous road. You know, does your life look like it's been following godly directions? Are you lost, wandering around on an ungodly way? All right, let's move now to the next section. There we go. Whoops. So, there are now two destinations. First of all, there is the destination of Parish Place and Prosper Plaza. All right? Now, let's look at the word prosper. What does it mean to prosper? Who remembers that phrase? Live long and prosper? Yeah, okay. Well, turns out that a certain individual on a certain TV program made that very, very popular in the 60s. But do you know where that hand sign actually came from? It's an interesting story. It actually comes from Judaism. You see, Leonard Nimoy, his ancestry, were Jewish. And his grandfather took him to a synagogue one day. And when the priest was closing the service, he would hold both hands up like that and pronounce an Aaronic blessing. And actually what's happening is that is making the Hebrew letter sheen. It's like a U with a line in the middle that goes up and down. It's the simplest way to explain it, and there's a dot over one of the ends of those lines. But it's also the letter that stands for God Almighty, the one who helps, the one who blesses. So this is a synagogue. Now, I don't know that you can see it, but do you see where the chancel area would be in the upper right-hand corner and the upper left-hand corner of the setback portion of that synagogue? That's what's there in a tile mosaic. It's that blessing, a gesture of blessing of Almighty God that is so important for us to want and understand and desire. And that's really, really what we want. We want the path of blessing in our life. Now, look at prosper in verses 1 and verse 3 and verse 6. He will be like a tree. Well, let me just show you. Isn't that a wonderful scene? Very relaxing. Actually, the Monocacy Creek up in Bethlehem. Josiah and I were fishing there one day, and it was just so beautiful. I was looking downstream. But it reminds me a lot of this passage. All of those trees are green all the time. And it's because they have a ready and close source of water. And that reminds me. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, as described in verse 6. So what does it mean to prosper? What does the psalmist mean when he talks about this prospering? Well, first of all, it's a constant resource supply. The word actually for streams of water is the word for irrigation ditch in Hebrew. You have an orchard, imagine an orchard, and imagine someone deliberately cultivating and digging out a trench and then flooding it with water. So all of those orchard fruit-bearing trees always have a ready source of water. Always. That's the idea in the Hebrew. Always in contact with a ready source and supply. I remember, you know, if you use a GPS and you go through the tunnel up here in Lehigh Valley, you know what happens? You lose satellite connection. And that's okay, because it's no big deal. But I was taking someone to, I think it was LaGuardia Airport one time, and you have to understand, I never, ever drive in the city. I'll drop outside, take the subway in, and I'm good to go. Buy me a fun pass and leave my car safely somewhere else. So we go through the tunnel, and what I didn't know is we had to make an immediate right. I mean, like 50 feet out of the tunnel. We lost satellite reception. Down the road, finally regain satellite reception and find we're going through downtown Manhattan during rush hour. Not good. Because I lost the connection with the satellite. But here, the righteous man who takes the word of God into him, memorizes it, meditates on it, it's like an unbreakable connection with the satellite. Because we always know where we're going in the path of righteousness. You can find observable wellness from someone who is walking in this path. Its leaf will not wither. I mean, there's beautiful willow trees, and willows always grow where there's an abundant source of water. But those beautiful willow trees continue to grow because they have and are well, because they're not planted in a desert, they're planted by water. There's also observable prosperity. Now that doesn't mean, this is not a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Spiritually speaking, we will be well and we will be prosperous. Fruit in your life. Two kinds of spiritual fruit, the deeds of the flesh, which I read earlier, and the deeds of the spirit, those love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control will always be an abundant supply to the person who's walking in the path of righteousness. And then finally, it says, God knows the way of the righteous in verse 6. Now, you might not think, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is God knows in an intimate way. That same word, know, in Hebrew, is also used of human intimacy. God knows us so well because he loves us so much. The intimate acquaintance with God is an expression of his love, his care for us. A care that will never go away. All right. Well, what about the path of those who are perishing? Look at verse 4. The wicked are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And drop down to verse 6 and second half, but the way of the wicked will perish. Okay, chaff. We don't do this that often because we use different farming methods. But in farming methods that are not modern, you would harvest the wheat, you would bring it in on the stalks, you would have oxen or beat those stalks with sticks, and then you would take with a pitchfork and throw up into the air on a windy day, and the chaff would just be blown off, and the seeds, because they're heavier and less wind resistant, would drop straight down. It's something that's done even today, yet in the Middle East, where modern farming methods are not readily available. Of course, that's what it looks like today when the fruit or the wheat, the grain, is separated from the chaff. Now, the interesting thing about the chaff is this. Just like the way of the wicked, they are called the ones who are the guilty ones. The chaff will, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. The guilty, actually the word judgment, mishpat, is used, is of the whole judicial process in which God is establishing his rule on the earth. One day there will be a judgment. One day there will be a separating. And the wind will drive the wicked simply away. They are also said that they will not have a seat in the assembly of the righteous. There will be no place left, no vacancy left on that great day of judgment. And it's said that they will perish. Now, what happens with chaff? It's really good for nothing except to be burned. Just simply burned. The Lord offers no protection for those who are not reconciled to him. Rather, their end is destruction. Jesus warned us that those who know him must do the will of God as interpreted by him, and those who do not produce fruit will come under the judgment of his words. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, again, the way to avoid this is first to establish a relationship with God by believing in the sacrifice of Christ for your sin, asking for forgiveness, believing that Jesus has risen from the dead and receiving him as Lord. But then we need to walk in a path that is worthy of Christ. We are told also about the perishing in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 through 15. The devil and those who deceived them were thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, and there were the beast and the false prophet also. And they'll be tormented day and night forever and forever. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, whose presence the earth and heaven fled. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. The sea gave up its dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up its dead that were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Anyone's name was not found written in the book. He was thrown into the lake of fire. You know, this is a pretty serious thing. Now understand, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But we're talking about the fruit. We're talking about the path of the righteous and the wicked. The path of the wicked will one day be destroyed. The path of the righteous, those who have come to know Christ as personal Savior, walk an entirely different way. They're in the Word. They walk according to the Word because the Word is in them. And it's evident that they are God's. So really, the choice is yours. You could walk down wicked way, or you could walk down the righteous road. If you walk down wicked way, you'll end up at perish place. If you walk down Righteous Road, you'll end at Prosperity Plaza. Prospering in spiritual things and in our relationship with God and others. So really the choice is yours. How are you going to start the new year? You're going to commit yourselves to being in the Word of God. You're going to commit yourself that the Word of God is going to be in you so that you can live it out. And so that we can stand one day at the judgment in the company of the righteous. Believe in Christ as Savior and as Lord. And then walk like you believe in Christ as Savior and Lord. Peter, would you come and help lead us, please.